welcome to the podcast of Trinity Vineyard Church, Nakuru. You can find our other talks on our archive at trinityvineyard.org. You can also subscribe to our podcast on your other platforms. Here's this week's talk, Baraka.
Hey, good morning, Trinity. Yes. So this is this begins the third week of Lent, and as I've been saying, these are 6 weeks that lead up to Easter, or 40 days that lead up to Easter, and it's a time the global church, the church of Jesus Christ, not just Trinity Vineyard, not just the Catholic Church or the Anglican Church, but the entire church takes time to just reflect, slow down and reflect on the gift Jesus gave us through his life, death, and resurrection. And then we step into repentance, a season in which through the help of the Holy Spirit, we get to ask ourselves, where is God inviting me to change my mind and turn back to him? That essentially is what repentance is. It's change how you think about the things of God and turn away from those that are not of God. And so we take time to slow down, reflect, and repent and turn back to God. And as a community, we've been looking at the things Jesus revealed to us. We've called this series The Trail to Freedom, because Jesus lived his life towards the cross. And on that cross, at a point in our history, our lives were completely changed. Everything was paid for us, and we received freedom. So he lived his life towards the cross, because he knew this is what he came to do. And on that trail, he kept living hints of the freedoms we keep getting, of the freedom we keep getting. So we've been taking this time of Lent to walk with Jesus through his trail to the cross, through his trail to our freedom, and pick out some of the freedoms we've received. We started out by reminding ourselves that we are sons and daughters of God. That's one of the main things that was accomplished. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that you get to come to church. That's really good. I think the church is God's plan to heal the world. But it's not about the church. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about people being invited to become sons and daughters of God. And so, and then we moved up from there to talking about the freedom from sin that we get. That God would pay for all our sin precisely because we are his sons and daughters. And today we're woken to a nation that is in between panic. Because the Minister for Health recently announced that there was finally a COVID-19 case in Kenya. And yesterday one of our staff went to the stores to buy hand soap, because we needed more so that, we could be part of keeping our community safe. And for the first time in Nakuru, they wouldn't allow you to buy more than one. And I think it's two things. People are panic buying. And two, communities like this are needing more to increase more washing stations. Whatever it is, whether it's panic buying or just people trying to do it better, it tells you that it's a nation in a bit of panic. I was in Nairobi 2 weeks ago, and even before the Minister of Health announced anything, there were no hand sanitizers in Westlands. People are just going, okay, I'm going to get all of this. I saw a really good meme last week just telling people who've bought all the soap and toilet paper that they should remember that to keep us all safe, it's not just them who need to wash their hands. It's the entire community. So please buy one so I could also buy the other and we get to all be safe. Otherwise, it doesn't work for anyone. And so today, I was so aware of the fact that when we go home, no one's thinking about it much. But then some of you walked in here, I saw someone post on Facebook that I might be throwing communion to you guys like this. But some of you walked in here and you're like, okay, now I'm aware of it, you know? And so everything had to change this morning because we cannot ignore the world that is in pain. We cannot ignore the world around us. And so today we'll pick a different freedom on our trail with Jesus. As he leads his life to the cross, we want to pick a freedom. He showed us that he had power over nature, which gave us freedom from fear of things that happen in nature. Let's pray. Thank you, God, because you're here. Thank you, God, because you heal. Thank you, God, because in your name, darkness trembles and nothing can stand in your way. Lord, thank you because we could try draw what we think of you and it will still never be enough. We still couldn't capture who you are to us and to the world around us. And so we invite you again, speak to us. Come and do what only you can do. So I want to, like we've always done, we're walking with Jesus in his life as we move towards the cross, and we pick different stories in Jesus' life and just find out what was he hinting at about our freedom. And so today we'll look at a different story in Matthew 8, 23 to 27. And as usual, I invite us to read together because there is power in reading scripture and in reading it together. And I'm also aware that a lot of us don't get to read their Bibles back home. So, let's do that together. This is Matthew 8:23-27. Go. And then Jesus got into a boat, and his disciples followed him. Out of nowhere, a vicious storm blew over the sea. Waves were lapping up over the boat, threatening to overtake it. Yet Jesus was asleep. Frightened, not to mention confused, how could anyone sleep through this? The disciples woke him up. Disciples, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Jesus, please. What are you so afraid of? You of little faith. Jesus got up, told the wind and the waves to calm down, and they did. The sea became still and calm once again. The disciples were astonished. They said, who is this? What sort of man is he that the sea and the waves listen to him? Bless your word, Lord. So, if you're ever on a trail, whether it's in a forest or you know, you're hiking a mountain, and you have an experienced guide, if he says we're in trouble, then you're really in trouble. If you're going to climb up Mount Kenya and you have the one guy who should know everything and he says, I think we're in trouble, then you're really in trouble. And this is the scenario here. These guys were experienced at sea. Most of them were fishermen. And then they're now panicking. This has gone all wrong. If great fishermen say that and they're at sea, then there's a big problem. Right? And there's a lot of superstition. There was a lot of superstition around this time about seas and lakes, that the spirits of those who died at sea would never rest, and they would, whatever. You know, so many of you know the story of Jesus walking on water, and the disciples is going, that's a ghost. That's where all that comes from, the superstition about those who died at sea. So now, for them, it's not just that there's a storm. Their superstitions kick in. It's like, uh-oh, this is really bad. Kind of some of the things that are going on around the country. I hear people, there's this verse from scripture that is doing rounds. Oh, and I send locusts and pandemics. And guys are going, uh-oh, God's mad at us, guys, you know? Another guy was talking about the locusts, and he was saying, where did they come from? They've never done this before. Right? This is unusual. Yes, it is. And oh, God must be very... There's this superstition around things that happen that are out of the ordinary. You know? And a few months ago, It's in our talk archives. We did a talk about, you know, some of the things to expect when you're following Jesus. And we looked at this story again and said, well, sometimes you know you're following Jesus because he led you right into a storm. He got on the boat and said, hey, yo, come in. And then you got in, and then you're in a storm. And then sometimes it looks like God is asleep. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. Like, and we know that feels like. And I feel like I was listening to some questions people have had. You know, other than saying, oh, this is a punishment from God. Yesterday I heard someone ask, why would God send such a thing to Kenya? Why would God do this? You know, there's a panic that's happening, and it feels like God is asleep in the boat that he got us into, right? But other than the sea being a storm, other than the disciples panicking and it feels like something's terribly wrong, there was something else that was different. The Son of God was actually with them. Although he was asleep, the Son of God was actually with them. I remember one time, I think maybe two Christmas seasons ago, I was reflecting on the fact that Jesus was a baby. And one strange thing about babies is that they will be at peace so much, and there could be a building being torn down around them, but as long as their moms got them, they're fine. They're just going to sleep on. You know, well, not always. They specifically like waking up in the middle of the night, I hear. But throughout everything else, they're just going to sleep. And I wondered, you know, this must have been the experience of Mary. As long as Mary carried Jesus, oh, he slept. And then woke up when Mary needed to make some bread or whatever. And I wondered if this wasn't a picture of this exact moment. Jesus, knowing that he is the Son of God, knowing that he is always in the Father's arms, is right in the heart of a storm, and he's asleep because the Father's got him. Because his Father's got him. So he just sleeps on. And think about it. It's not just a storm, so it's shaking the boat. There's water getting into the boat, so he's getting wet. How is he sleeping through this? It seems that there's a peace in Jesus that is greater than the storm around him. And I think there is such a thing. We all know storms. We all know storms in our life. We all know times in our life when we are panicking, when things are terribly going wrong. And the world thinks things are terribly going wrong right now. But imagine Jesus is inviting us to some to a kingdom, to a family relationship where you can have a peace inside you that overcomes whatever storm is around us. So anyway, they managed to wake him up. Dude, wake up! We are drowning. You know how annoying it is for your sleep to be interrupted when you're not ready? Even your body just feels raw. It's wrong. You know, when that happens to me, I would just be trembling. Like, why did you interrupt this dream? And I feel like Jesus is right there. That's why he goes, please, what the heck are you afraid of? Right? Because he probably is feeling that, ah, man, my sleep was so good. Really? Just a storm? What are you guys afraid of? And if you're one of the 12, you're going, the storm? Right? If you're one of the 12, you're saying, my life is crushing, and you're sleeping. If you're one of the 12, you're probably going, wow, there's a pandemic. They can't comprehend why he's at, what are we afraid of? The very thing you can see. And Jesus is seeing the storm, but it's like, really, this? But Jesus turns his attention from the disciples to the wind. And he speaks to it and calms it down. But I just want us to realize that Jesus wasn't calming down the wind out of fear. It's like, okay, I see we're going to drown. No, he loves his scared disciples so much. He's responding out of love. He's coming to see because he loves his cared disciples. He's realizing this is not going to be a good teaching moment about faith because they're scared. So let's calm this sea down. We'll talk about this later. You know, for some of you who are parents, when your kids do something, when you're visiting friends, you're going, okay, let me fix this. We'll talk about this at home. It's kind of that moment, okay, you guys are so scared, we can't talk about faith now. I'm going to calm it down. Not because he's afraid finally that he's woken up. No, he loves his scared disciples. He's responding out of love. He's healing a broken world out of love, not because he's worried that finally something has come that might just sink us. On his way to the cross, Jesus shows that he has power over nature and that we can receive freedom from things that happen in nature. And yes, this is a broken world. Yes, the environment is damaged and some of the repercussions are just are dramatic and devastating. Yes, the swarms of locusts just appeared like a story from the book of Exodus. Yes, there's another pandemic. I'm saying another because this is not the first pandemic the world has faced. Yes, there's another one. And yes, Jesus has power over things that happen in nature, and we have freedom to be free of fear. We have freedom to be free of fear of the things that happen in nature. But I want us to realize that Jesus only spoke calm and stillness to the sea and the storm because in him was so much peace and stillness already. You will never speak peace into a situation if you're in chaos yourself. Think about it. The times when you said things and you're not at peace inside you, most probably you never made things better. They just went south. Because you said something out of fear, you said something you shouldn't have said. Every time we're in chaos, we don't speak peace. But Jesus has so much peace inside him. Jesus is very still inside him. No wonder he could sleep in a storm with water covering him, not completely, because he was at peace. And because of that peace, he could speak peace. Jesus was at peace because he was certain of his identity as God's child. Right at his baptism, where we started this story, God declares, "This is my son, and in him I am totally pleased." He hadn't done anything yet. He hadn't healed the sick yet. He hadn't stopped any world pandemics yet. He hadn't done anything. Just a 30-year-old who's shown up on the scene, and God looks at him and says, "Wow, my son, I am totally pleased in him." That is what is giving Jesus peace, even in this storm. And from that place of peace, he is speaking peace. And I want us to remember this one thing, that the church is a family of God's children. We are God's sons and daughters. And if we remember that identity of ours, could we step into peace despite storms around us? Because that's the only way we will heal this nation. That's the only way we will heal this nation. Because we will not speak peace in this time if there is chaos inside us. When I was in high school, our school went on strike. I went to one of those schools that had a name for strikes. And, you know, it wasn't about if, it was about when. So our time came, but I was school captain, so I didn't get the pleasure of joining in. So I went into one of the Form 1 dormitories to get them out because I have no choice but to take care of them. I'm not sure I loved them that much. I hope I did. But anyway, I go into the dormitories and I go, "Get down from the windows," because you know what goes down first, the windows. Rocks are coming in. Get away from the windows. Get away from the windows. But don't panic. It's going to be fine. And one of them walks up to me and says, "But you're trembling." was like, oh, I couldn't speak peace to them. I was trembling. Get down. But it's going to be fine. Is it? See, the world can see if we're just speaking stuff because it's religion or we really have a peace to give the world. And as sons and daughters of God, we do have God's peace to give this world. And the world is watching. Are you trembling as you say, oh, it's going to be fine? Try not to touch my face. And I'm inviting us back there. Remember our identity. We are sons and daughters of God. Even before you wash your hands this morning. Yeah, because that's a spiritual thing now. God was pleased with you. And from that, he's inviting you to a peace. Have you ever seen people that are going through stuff and they should be crashed? And you're just wondering, how do you have peace in this? You have a terrible cancer. How do you have peace in this? And this has turned so many people's hearts towards Jesus. One of the world's leading, what's the name for? It's not genocide. It's study of genetics. Okay, the guys who study genetics. Okay, so one of the leading guys who study genetics came to know Jesus because he was serving people who were dying. And they had more peace than he did. He finally realized there's something going on here. He had all the head knowledge, but he couldn't understand the kind of peace some of them had. And one of his patients asked, how are you at peace? We just resuscitated your heart. How are you at peace? And she said, oh, because I know God. And that started a journey for him. And Jesus found him. See, Jesus seemed perfectly fine sleeping in a storm. How many of you are perfectly fine during this time? Or how many of us just made Nivus deny us one more thing of soap? I don't know what would have happened to them if they never woke Jesus up. But Jesus was perfectly fine sleeping. Maybe one of them would have fallen over. But the point is, probably they'd have gotten to the other shore. And Jesus is still asleep. He was perfectly fine sleeping in the storm. Because he knows his power over nature. He knows we need not fear nature because God is in charge. Then he wakes up and responds out of love. He calms the sea out of love for his scared disciples. And this should lead us to responding to our community at this time, not from a place of fear, but from a place of love, you know? Some of you are business leaders, and you will have to guide your business through this season because you have staff, and they're looking up to you. Some of you have huge voices on Facebook and your Instagram social influencers. I don't know how that works, but people do follow you, and everything you say matters to them, right? Some of you are teachers, and your students are watching you. Some of your parents, and you have to guide your family through this time. As a pastor of this church, I am constantly bombarded by messages from people. I'm watching the news, and my thoughts, I'm just constantly thinking, how do I lead this community through this? We were here all day yesterday just going, okay, Sunday is here, because it keeps coming every 7 days. How do we respond? But I honestly don't feel fearful necessarily for myself. And I want to respond to this community out of that place. I long to hug all those little kids watching, like, oh, I always hug you on Sunday. I long to hug some of my friends. I just go, oh, I long to hug you. That's not the problem. The problem is I have to respond out of love for them. I really And I wondered if it's a weird thing, because I was like, I'm fine, you know, like, I really don't care if I got it. And probably it's because I don't have a family, so I was like, yeah, you know, I could go to be with Jesus any moment. But, and maybe that's weird and dark, God help me. but it's not about me. It's about loving this community. So, because George and I went somewhere on Saturday night, and guys will come, hey, you know, oh, forget the government, we're covered by the blood. Yes, we are. But what about that panicking brother? Right? I invite you to respond to the world around us and the things that are happening, not because you know you're fine, that's beside the point, but because it's worth loving them. That even a moment of fear isn't worth giving them. And so that's why we you know, if you came early, you probably sensed the smell of bleach. Like, it's not that we're worried something has happened here, but we want everyone to feel safe. And we're watching it. If it even got to a point, you know, at the government directive or something's happening in this city and we have to stop in-person gathering, we will, but not out of fear. Oh, but we got the blood of Jesus. Yes. And because we've got the blood of Jesus, we will love this community. And how can you love this community? See, some of you might just give an extra bar of soap to someone who couldn't afford it. Because we know some people in our community that even if they wanted to wash their hands, they couldn't afford a bar of soap. Some of you might have to put a washing station outside your premises. Some of you could donate washing stations to just, you know, the Vibandas around us. Oh, is it panic? No, it's we love our community. And some of them may be panicking. And we don't get to ignore that. We don't get to ignore that. So as we go into this week, how do we respond as sons and daughters of God? Do we go panic buying? Do we respond out of fear, or do we serve this community out of love? So let's stand as I invite the band back on stage. Let our identity as sons and daughters of God be what leads us to respond to this community and the city we love. So there are a few ways we will respond today. George and his team, I think we'll just do tremble again. You know, let's just keep declaring that darkness trembles at the mention of the name of Jesus. And so as they do that, I invite you to be present. And let's pray for this city. Let's pray for God's world. Because he cares. He's listening. And as all that happens, I invite you to give. The brown box is at the back, or you can give via M-Pesa, as Rachel told us earlier. And then our prayer teams are still at the back. If you need prayer, they will be very, very sensitive to you. Please, go ahead. Let's pray for you. God is here with us. And then we'll have communion, but communion will be different today. So we've traditionally used what we call intinction. But today, could our communion servers just come up and take the bread? So what's going to happen today is just the bread. They'll stand on the sides, and then you'll just come up, take one of those glasses, and they'll give you a piece of bread. And then, why don't we do this? Let's just go back to our seats, and we'll together share communion, okay? So we will drink at the same time and eat at the same time. Why don't you come up for communion? Let's take the cup. So I want to lead us through a community prayer for our city. It was going to be on screen, but we don't have it no more. So I'll read out and you'll repeat after me. Is that okay? So it's adapted from John 14, 27. Peace I give you. My peace I give you. I do not give you peace like the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So I'll say these lines and you'll repeat after me. Lord, give us your peace. Your peace is not like the world's peace. Lord, give our city and our nation your peace. Your peace is not like the world's peace. In this pandemic, our hearts will not be troubled. Your peace is not like the world's peace. Even in the panic and the storm around us, your peace is not like the world's peace. And with your peace, may we heal the world with you. Because your peace is not like the world's peace. Lord, we bless you. So Jesus, just come and fill our hearts again. And Spirit, remind us that we are sons and daughters of God. Lord, remind us to respond to our world from that place. And Father, we ask you to heal our land, heal the world. And this is stuff faith is made of, that we can invite you in the things that are happening around us, trusting that you are moving already, even when we don't see it. So Lord, heal our world, heal this nation. So I bless you now to go back to your families, to this city, to the coffee shops, to the places you work, to people who like you and people who don't even like you. And with God's peace, and with an assurance that you are God's child, bring peace to the world around you. That you respond out of love. I bless you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much for joining us. The band is going to continue.